Dr. Balaga here. This podcast belongs to a set of 10 podcasts on the topic of geriatrics. It's from an outstanding chapter on geriatrics in Balaga's textbook of internal medicine, available at www.mastermedfacts.com. It covers important topics, including functional decline and frailty, cognitive impairment and dementia, evaluation of cognitively impaired elderly driver, depression in late life, hearing impairment, vision impairment, urinary incontinence, undernutrition, pharmacotherapeutic considerations in the elderly, including pharmacokinetics and pharmacodynamics, elder abuse and neglect, goals of care and advanced directives, and prognostication. After listening to these 10 podcasts, you should have a solid foundation in geriatrics and should help you provide better care to your senior citizen patients. This chapter is authored by Dr. Jedet Ross, MD, who's professor at the University of Texas Health Science Center at San Antonio. She is the Associate Program Director for Geriatric Fellowship and Director of Didactic Activities for Palliative Care and Geriatric Fellows. Her academic interests include integrating geriatric palliative care content into educational programs at the undergraduate and the graduate medical educational levels. The senior author is Dr. Eric Widera, MD, who's professor of clinical medicine in the Division of Geriatrics at the University of California, San Francisco, UCSF. He's also the associate program director for geriatrics. His main goal is to improve the care provided to elderly patients with severe chronic and or terminal conditions through program development and educational interventions. Multiple choice question. An 82-year-old woman with advanced dementia is hospitalized for aspiration pneumonia. At baseline, she coughs occasionally while eating and pockets food in her mouth. What is the best next step to decrease a risk of future aspirations? A. Feeding tube insertion. B. Careful hand feeding and good oral care. C. A trial of both a cholinesterase inhibitor and memantine. And D. Addition of olanzapine to treat her pocketing of food behavior. And the answer is B, careful hand feeding and good oral care. In advanced stages, the pathology seen with Alzheimer's disease reduces a person's ability to coordinate and effectively perform even automatic actions like chewing and swallowing. There's also damage that interferes with oropharyngeal muscles and reflexes, affecting swallowing. Eating and drinking, though, are a potential source of pleasure in demented persons that should be encouraged while optimizing nutrition and hydration and minimizing aspiration. Carefully assisted hand feeding is an intense intervention in which feeding is done by a caregiver, offering small amounts of food at a time and using strategies to diminish choking and aspiration, such as sitting the person upright and prompting them to swallow and to tuck their chin. Oral care keeps the taste buds clean and identifies potential problems with teeth and gums early on. Oral care has been shown to decrease incidence of pneumonia, number of febrile days, and death from pneumonia in nursing home residents. Feeding tubes have not been shown to improve survival for individuals with dementia. There is also no evidence that tube feeding prevents aspiration pneumonia, decreases the risk for pressure ulcers, improves patient comfort, or prolongs life. Although there is some evidence for a statistically significant improvement in cognitive, functional, and behavioral outcomes in individuals with the use of acetylcholinesterase inhibitors and memantine for moderate to severe dementia, these improvements have marginal clinical significance. Furthermore, there is no evidence to suggest that they decrease eating problems or risk for aspirations. Antipsychotics have not been shown to improve eating behaviors in dementia. Briefly, dementia is a clinical disorder characterized by changes in cognition, behavior, and functional status. The impairments need to involve at least two of the following cognitive domains: memory, executive function, visuospatial ability, language, and personality or behavior. The severity of the cognitive deterioration is such that it interferes with a person's ability for daily function and independence. Dementia is considered a late life disease because it tends to develop mostly in older adults. Among patients aged 65 and older, 6 to 8% has some form of dementia, and this number doubles every 5 years. It's estimated that a third to a half of the people in their 80s suffer from some form of dementia. The rapid increase in older age groups means that the next decade we will be caring for an unprecedented number of cognitively impaired individuals in the US. This podcast is derived from an outstanding chapter on geriatrics in Baliga's textbook of internal medicine, available at www.mastermedfacts.com. It's authored by Dr. Jeanette Ross, MD, professor at the University of Texas Health Science Center at San Antonio. She is also the Associate Program Director for Geriatric Fellowship. Her academic interests include integrating geriatric palliative care content into educational programs at the undergraduate and graduate medical education levels. Her main interests include advanced communication skills, goals of care, pain management, and management of falls in the elderly. Her clinical activities are based in the South Texas VA healthcare system, where she is a staff physician within the geriatrics department and extended care services, and she is affiliated with the Geriatric Research, Education, and Clinical Center. She works in the Geriatrics and Palliative Care Consultation Service and the Geriatrics Clinic. Dr. Eric Widera, MD, is Professor of Clinical Medicine in the Division of Geriatrics at UCSF, that is University of California, San Francisco. He's also the Associate Program Director for Geriatrics. His main goal is to improve the care provided to elderly patients with severe chronic and or terminal conditions through program development and educational innovations. Dr. Widera accomplishes this through various leadership roles, including Director of the Hospice and Palliative Care Service at San Francisco VA Medical Center, and he's the Program Director for the Geriatric Fellowship at UCSF. He has been the recipient of numerous grants and awards, including a Geriatric Academic Center Award at the Hastings Center Cunniff Dixon Physician Award, and the Hartford Foundation as a Center of Excellence Faculty Scholar Award.